There are secrets within secrets. When you first come to Krishna consciousness, you get told the secret. And after you've been in Krishna consciousness for a while, they tell you another secret. And after a little while, they tell you another secret. But it's not just the devotees that tell you secrets. It's actually God himself who lets you into the secret. Because unless he does, unless he chooses you to let you into that secret, then you cannot know anything. I spent 4 hours yesterday with a Sufi, very interesting man. He was making a film about how he understands God, and he was going to different people, and how he understands God through teachings and music, and the relationship between him and his spiritual master. So he was making this point, and I think it's a point that everybody who thinks about it will make. And he was having a joke, because the next person on the interview list, there was a television program. he was a celebrity of some sort. But this was another side of him, the side that the public didn't know. So he was, after interviewing me, he was coming down to Gower Street locally to interview the lady who put the signs on all the buses saying, there's probably no God. Now go and enjoy yourself. And he was laughing and I was laughing, and he said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I can understand, because we live in an age where there's so many so-called spiritual teachers and so many religious masters who will cheat you, that people become cynical. This person becomes cynical. And then what society does, sort of join up the dots. So you've got this picture of widespread cynicism within contemporary society. So I say, it's easy to be cynical. We have enough evidence to be cynical. We have enough reasons to be cynical, and at least to be cautious, to be healthily cautious for our own benefit. And of course, in Kali Yuga, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that it's like a man or a woman who's trying to run away from a forest fire. The forest fire is all consuming. There's nothing you can do about it, so you just have to run. That's what all the animals of the forest do. But in running away from the forest fire, he's still feeling hot. He's got heat to the back, and because he's running, because the forest fire is the trouble there very quickly, so you have to run as fast as you possibly can. So he's got the heat on his back, and he's got the heat from his own body because he's running so fast, and he just wants to find somewhere cool. Okay. That's cool as in temperature, not cool as in fashionable. So he runs, he wants to find somewhere cool, and he sees a little river. And Bhagavatam says he dives into that river only to discover, to his horror, that the river is only 3 inches deep. And not only does it not give him any coolness, but he bangs his head. So this is Kali Yuga. In the process of running away from samsara dhamanala, we come to the river of spiritual tuition, and we find that it's only 3 inches deep. And in the process, we not only get the tuition that we need, but we bang our heads. So not only am I hot, not only is the forest fire still burning, not only did I not get any refreshment, but now my head is hurting as well. So I said, in this Kali Yuga environment, it's Kali Yuga, we need a certain amount of healthy cynicism. And that's what actually brings us to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, when he created the Bhaktivedanta Institute, he said, my first business of the Bhaktivedanta Institute is to create doubt in the scientists. That's the first transformation that has to come about, to create doubt. Not saying that they're not true, not saying that evolution is incorrect, but just there's reason enough for doubt. So let's hold on to that doubt, shall we? Let's just hold on to it. And let's work with that doubt and see where we go. So holding on to the doubts in the scientists, holding on to the doubts in the politicians, holding on to the doubts in our friends, holding on to the doubts in our teachers and everybody we've had in our life up to that point, we then come to Krishna consciousness. Why? Because we doubt everybody else and we think that perhaps Krishna consciousness can give us something. And so we come. And you know what? Because we've held on to our doubt and it brought us to Krishna consciousness, what do? We keep doubt in our pocket. We keep healthy cynicism in our pocket. To bring it out occasionally, to blow off the dust and the crumbs and the fluff, and to use that healthy doubt occasionally. Right? Is that what we should do? Krishna says, no. Pariprashnena. Pariprashnena sevaya. You see. To come before the Guru, to really come before the Guru means, okay, I was doubtful, but now that's over. That's over. That is a threshold of experiencing God. So we were told it was for a pop star and a guy who's not much of a devotee. It was a conversation that was spiraling upwards, you know. And so he ended by kissing me on the cheek. He's a married man, I don't know. But he was so happy that somebody somewhere had heard and understood. Now, it wasn't the first time, because he actually told me, he said, the reason I'm here at the Hare Krishna temple is because a friend of a friend told me that I could come and speak to you and that you'd be interested in doing this film. He said, but the real reason I got in touch is because I was walking along the street in London and I bought a Science of Self-Realization. And he said, that changed my life. He said, my brain cells began to pop. And he just said that this, when he read the words of Prabhupada, it was just, often people don't completely, change their religion. Religion is something else. Actually, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we don't deal in religion. Not really. Religion is a lot of other things besides spirituality. Religion is whether you take your hat off when you go into the church, whether you cover your head when you go into the temple. You know, religion is the food you eat and how you eat and what language you sing in and what shape the place where you worship God is. And there's many, many things. But what we learn from Srila Prabhupada is tattva, is truth. And truth will touch people in whatever religion they currently believe. This is the point. So he didn't give up his religion because that means giving up his teachers and his friends and his language and his country and a whole other things. But in his heart, he knows that Prabhupada is the great master, and that is why he came to the Krishna Consciousness Temple. So Hare Krishna. And so finally, he said, what do you think? So we went through this, talking about doubt and everything, and then healthy cynicism. There's a time for having it and a time for giving up, because unless you give up that healthy cynicism, you cannot see the face of God. You cannot. You will always be thinking, should I believe what this spiritual master says? Should I believe what this devotee says? Or not? Healthy doubt has brought me so far as a devotee. Now let me doubt some more, and that will take me forward in my spiritual life. No. The abandoning of doubt after the point at which you have come in contact with Krishna, this is what will bring you further. Catch me on another day, my dear friends, and I will explain something else to you. But today I'm explaining this principle. So he says, so what do you think of the things on the London bus? I said, well, I understand people may say that we should only believe what we see. That seeing is believing. And if you cannot see God, then why believe him? I said, but for us, abandoning doubt and believing in the message of God, is equal to seeing. So other people, the cynics, they say, seeing is believing. And we say, believing is seeing. That's the difference. We've come to the threshold of faith, and we've stepped over that threshold into the house of faith. Shraddha Kutir. Shraddha Kutir, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say. So it's both a figurative house, a theological house, and an architectural house where you live, the Shraddha Kutir. When you have faith in your heart, this is the most important house where God resides, the most important temple. You take it everywhere you go. Don't forget to take off your shoes. It's like, you know, Moses and the burning bush. It was just a hill, it was just a bush, it was in fire. But God said to Moses, what are you doing? Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. So Moses says, what, this ground? Is it here? Wherever I am, that's holy ground. So I'm here now, so take your shoes off. I'm now in a holy place. So inside the temple, outside the temple, everywhere is holy if you are remembering Krishna. But for us to remember Krishna in Kali Yuga, we need a savior. We need a messiah, actually. We need a messiah. We need a savior. And we really do need to be saved. And if someone says to you, have you been saved? Please tell them the truth. Don't get all, you know, yes, I've been saved. When were you saved? And you tell them the date when you first met the devotees. I was saved on that day. So Kali Yuga Pavana, we normally refer to as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How does it go? Kali Kukur Nasan? Kali Kukur... Anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chasing away the mad dog of Kali Yuga. He's chasing away the mad dog of Kali Yuga. But even to get to Lord Chaitanya, we have Sri Nityananda Prabhu, whose appearance day it is today. Because everybody needs an introduction to somebody important. Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful, we say every day, if you want to eat, you should say this prayer. Namo Maha Badanyaya. Aya means unto you. Namo Maha Badanyavatar. He's the Maha Vyadanyavatar. He's the most magnanimous incarnation. You see. But even to approach the most magnanimous incarnation, there's a chain of introduction. And only if you think, I am nothing, then we get this introduction. So Lord Nityananda is very, very merciful. But what does mercy mean? There's a difference between compassion and mercy. Compassion means I look into a river and I see that someone's drowning. And I feel their pain. I feel their struggle. Mercy is I actually reach out my hand and I hold on to them. That's the difference. So compassion, that's fine. Mercy means to actually do something about it. So devotees should not only feel compassion for others, but they should give mercy to others. Mercy is the consequent or subsequent activity when one feels compassion. 200 years ago, the word 200 years ago, the word love was a verb, which means a doing word. To love someone is a doing word. 200 years ago in the dictionary. Now in the dictionary, if you look at the word love, it has gone from being a verb to being a noun. Description of something I feel. And this is the difference. So if you look in a Sanskrit dictionary, you will see bhakti translated as devotion. But Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service. Why? Because devotional service means I've actually got off my bottom, right? I've got up off my armchair because my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said that Krishna consciousness is not a matter of imaginative ecstasy or armchair speculation. It is a matter of practical devotional service. So practical devotional service. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, of course, In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line, there is a mixing of the four sampradayas, and probably no more obvious to historians than the movement that was started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, who really changed everything that had been going on for the past 450 years. So because of that, we have, you know, brahmacharis clad in saffron, we have sannyasis with tridandas, and we have all sorts of things, actually, pancharatrik mantras that we chant along with our Gayatri, and fire yagyas when we give initiation. All of that was, it just wasn't there in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It wasn't needed. But in order to make this great amalgam, to bring together all the different elements, this was all brought together. What was I saying? So he sent some disciples to the Ramanujacharya followers and the Madhvacharya followers in Udupi, and the disciples came back to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and they said, Guru Maharaj, we saw that the sannyasis are not sitting and reading. They're waking up in the morning and they're running to take a bath and they're running to do puja and they're running to do another puja and they're running to chant japa and they're running to do their reading and they're running to give blessings and they're running to do Rathiatra. And they found this, you know, completely different from the somewhat contemplative Babaji expressions of devotion that were found in the Gaudiya line so much. And he said, yes. He said, they're doing that because they've understood what is devotional service. Always active for Krishna's service. And in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda perfectly expresses this activity. Because even when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri in Sikandra for 18 years, he told Nityananda to serve rather than relish. So Nityananda Prabhu went back to Bengal, and for some years he never saw the Lord again. And he had his 64 associates, his 64 gopals. There's been a lot of Hare Krishna movements. There's the movement called the Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha, started by the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. There was the movement started by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, of the 64 Gopals, followed by the 64 Mahants. And they came together at a certain point under Janava Thakurani. But there was different movements going on. There wasn't a split in the movement. It's just when you get geography, you get people doing things in slightly different ways and different Hare Krishna movements going on. So he was there, and then of course there was another movement, if you like, with the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu down in Jagannath Puri, and you read all about that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri itself, and Ramananda Roy in Rajmundri, and different people. And then of course Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said anyway, that he directly inspired Thakuram over in Maharashtra, and Tukaram. Same time period?
Yes.
Vaguely?
Yes.
In his travels?
Yes.
That's what they tell me. And there's even a hint that somewhere he met Guru Nanak. So these different, when you travel and you preach, don't be surprised if you start a movement. I was very surprised one morning before breakfast. I was walking in Andhra Pradesh, and in Andhra you can go for miles and miles before another village. Anyway, we got very nice reception every village we went to, but in a particular village we came to, there was we had to walk up a road, and we saw a kirtan going on, different drums, different cartels, different tune, different rhythm, but Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I turned to Sri Ram Swami, I turned to Jayadvaita Swami, and I asked, is there anybody in the Gaudiya Math been here? This was 1986. Has anybody in the Gaudiya Math been here? I don't know. Amrita Village. So we went, and they took us, they processed us through the village, down to the bottom of the village, and back up to the end of the village, and they gave us nimble pani, little dosa, I think it was, and everything like that, idli. And we can talk about food, can't we? Because there is breakfast. So then we asked them, where did this start? When did this start? And they none of the young men knew. They said, we just do this every morning before breakfast. All the young men of the village, we all get together with our drums and cymbals. They don't think we even said cartels. And we go from one end of the village doing Hare Krishna Hare Ram mantra. Then, and I said, so is there anybody in the village knows where this tradition started? And they were all kind of bewildered. They were looking, who did start this? It's just something that we've always done in this village. So then they asked one old Dadu, and he was over 90 years old, and he said, oh, this was started 500 years ago by a great saint who came to our village on his way south, on his way further south. So this is a Hare Krishna movement that no one knew about in that village and surrounding villages, started by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Still going. You see, sometimes it's hard to keep a temple going for 20 years. People come, people go. This is something that's been going for 500 years, this Namahata group. Okay, Madam Mohan Govinda. East London in 500 years' time. If there is an East London in 500 years' time. So this is, this was Lord Nityananda's. So this is why this song that we're going to sing, it begins, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is raising his hands in praise, and he said, Suravi kunjete namhat kuleche. He's saying this is what Lord Nityananda has done, his active devotional service to serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Prabhupada said, you will never ever see an incarnation of Lord Krishna miserable. He said, Krishna is never miserable. He said, Krishna does not have to go to the factory. Krishna is not henpecked by his wife. He said, Krishna is never miserable. Never unhappy. He's Paramananda. Always blissful. But he said, this one incarnation of Lord Krishna is an anxiety, because he doesn't know how the souls will be delivered. And those who want to become lovers of God in Kali Yuga, the most important devotional service is to relieve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of the anxiety that he experiences seeing the conditioned souls not taking shelter of Krishna. So that is why Lord Nityananda Prabhu is Adi Guru. He's the Adi Guru. Because he's told by Lord Chaitanya, it's very nice that you come here to Jagannath Puri to see me, but actually what I want you to do is to go home and preach. This is needed. And he does that. And because he does that, Lord Chaitanya's message spreads all over. And because he does that, then someone takes the inspiration from that and goes to Assam. And someone takes the inspiration from Nityananda and goes to Manipur, where even today 80% of the population are Gaudiya Vaishnava. So it does work. But it requires some. There was one person who went to Assam. What was his name? Shankaradev. He went to Assam, 240,000 disciples. Probably didn't have a GBC to regulate his initiation. But it's just going and taking the message, taking the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in this first line, he said, this is the happy news that I've come to tell you. The happy news that I've come to tell you is that Nityananda Prabhu has opened the marketplace of the holy name, this hatha. It's the hatha, not the apple hatha, not the kola hatha, not the hatha for pots and pans and kitchen things, but it's the nam hatha. It's the marketplace where they only sell the holy name. Well, how much does it cost, this holy name? And he goes on to sing in the song. It just costs your faith. That's all. Again, the preaching should bring you to the threshold of faith, and then cross over that threshold into the house of faith, where you can actually experience Krishna consciousness. So we need to bring people across that threshold. Most of the preaching that we do in Krishna consciousness is bringing people up to the threshold of faith so that they will step over that threshold and into the house. That's most of our preaching. Unfortunately, we don't preach too much on rasa tattva. We don't preach many things. We don't give as a general thing. We're bringing people towards the house of faith and into the threshold. And this is in the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he said, I have come to give Radha Krishna praying. He said, but most of my life I have spent in the jungle cutting down the thick creepers of impersonalism and sense gratification. So you cannot establish the house of faith where there's no open space, there's no clearing in the jungle. So you have to clear away the jungle first, and then you can create a path, and then people can come. So this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praising Nityananda. So let's read the translation. I'm singing news of the greatest happiness. At the place known as Surabhikunj in Srinagarvi, the marketplace of the holy name has now been opened, and Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale, merely for the price of one's faith. Wholesale means that you go to that marketplace, the holy name is not only for you, you pay the wholesale price, but you've got to do some retail. You see? You get it cheap, but you sell it for the same price, but you get a commission. Okay, but the point is that it's you're the stage, you know, it comes from the wholesale market, and now you're the retailer, you're the preacher. Seeing the assembly devotees eagerly waiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each of them to test their qualification. Then he sells them the name by bargaining for his price accordingly. Now, Nityananda will examine each and every one of us. That means you. That means you have a personal relationship with Lord Nityananda Mahajan. Not that Lord Nityananda is someone kind of off to the side. And really, I've figured out what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's Prabhupada, then it's maybe Gaura Nitya, but really it's Krishna. You see, if you come from the Hindu background, sort of like it's Prabhupada, he's the great Mahant, and then there's Radha Krishna. And there's some others in between, but that's not important. You see, some people come to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says only demons think like that. He's very sharp. See, this is the secret within the secret within the secret. The first secret is Bhagavad Gita. Second secret is Srimad Bhagavatam. But the inner secret, the innermost chamber of secrets is that a line from the film? Okay. The innermost secret is, until I've got kids coming. The innermost chamber of secrets is Chaitanya Charitamrita. And actually, when we examine our philosophy, we'll find everybody believes in Bhagavad Gita. Slightly less people believe in Srimad Bhagavatam, but slightly less people believe in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you haven't read either the teachings of Lord Chaitanya or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then this is all a secret to you. It just means you've got so much more yet to come, so much more wonderful things yet to come. Bhagavad Gita is milk. Srimad Bhagavatam is cream. Chaitanya Charitamrita is
Rabri.
So, am I alright? Am I on the right track? Johnny's eye? You okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. Hope I haven't said anything wrong. So then, oh my dear friends, if you really want to buy this pure holy name, then just come along with me. For I am now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. So Guru, the spiritual master, he comes in the line from Adi Guru, Nityananda. And he grabs you by the hand and he says, come on, I am now going to the marketplace, and as your guru, I will help you do some bargaining with Nityananda. He knows me. He knows me a little bit. I'll help you. You're a first-time customer, but now that you're initiated, I will take you to that marketplace and, you know, I'll help you. Thus you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I'll also take my commission. And in this way, all three of us will fulfill our desires. Nityananda's going to get what he wants, because he gets faith. That's all he wants, just the faith. I'm going to get some commission as the guru. I'm going to get some commission. And you, as the disciple, you're going to get some, you know, you will get the holy name for a price that I've helped you bargain for. Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful, accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. Normally, we don't get something for nothing in this world. We don't get the best of all things for the cheapest price. Faith is, in one sense, it is something that we have on tap. There's a lot of it that we have. But in another sense, it's difficult to squeeze it out of the heart. You see, it's like, a bit like squeezing blood. You've got buckets of it, but you just try and getting one drop of blood. You know, some people are very squeamish. They go,
I lost one drop of blood.
Or a child comes,
I'm bleeding. It's blood.
You see, we've got it, but we don't like to. So my faith is very precious. I only want to repose it where it is going to be fully reciprocated. So it's an easy thing because we've got lots of it, but we don't choose to place it. Rather, we have great faith in the mind. We have great faith in our senses. We have great faith in a lot of other things. But unfortunately, faith in Krishna is sometimes not always there. Nityananda, God. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of
Gaura!
One more time, loudly. Gaura! He instantly gives his support to that person. Did you feel it? Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. There is nothing that will stop you from getting bhakti. Nothing that will stop you. Sometimes we even think, well, if I'm poor, that's a qualification for getting bhakti. I'll renounce everything. I'll give away everything. The acharyas say that for all the devotion that Sudama had, Sudan Vikra, he had that one small thing that Krishna needed to adjust, that he thought that he could get the blessings of the Lord by having nothing. So Krishna simultaneously bestowed upon him everything that he came for, but he also gave him wealth. And normally we don't see that, because every story that we read begins, once upon a time, there was a poor Brahmin. Have you ever read a story that starts, once upon a time, there was a quite well-off Brahmin? You know? He was living quite nicely. We never read those stories. We treasure the idea of the poor Brahmin, who, because he had nothing, he somehow got Krishna quicker than the others. But here's an instance where Krishna's saying, no, don't think that I can be purchased by poverty. Bhakti is bhakti. And nothing can stand in the way of bhakti. Poverty cannot stay in the way of bhakti. But also wealth cannot stay in the way of bhakti. Sometimes we like to tell people, especially those devotees who live in the temple and who've given up everything, we like to tell them, yes, if Krishna loves you, he takes everything away. But to others, we have a relevant message. So you'll have to decide who you are. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling snares. If you're a householder, then just remain at your homes. Okay? Grihe tako, vani tako, sada hari bodhi. If you're a householder, don't get all funny. Don't get all weird. Okay, just understand. We're in this for a long, long race. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Coming to Krishna consciousness. It says here, Nityananda will test you. He'll test you. You'll be tested every day of your life. And sometimes you'll have really big tests. And you'll have to pass those tests in order to come further and further into the house of faith. So he says, if you're a householder, don't think that householder life will get in the way of being a devotee. But if you're renounced, don't think that by copying a householder who's a devotee, that you can be, you know, you stay in the forest, he stays in his house. Either way, nothing more will trouble you now that we've gone to Nityananda. So then he says, we no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel. Ar naiko kalir bhai. There's no bhai. We are not afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Krishna says at the end, Masucha. 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 Written on his hand. Some temples in South India, you go, it's written, and Krishna has a hand. He has decorations on his hand.
Upilion.
He has diamonds, and then written with red rubies on the white diamonds is Ma Suchaha. Don't worry. No fear. No fear. Let there be no fear. I'm here. You see? For the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Bhaktivinoda Thakur loudly calls out and proclaims to all, in capital letters here, we can read it together, it was capital letters, you can shout very loudly,
Adhananda, don't speak of Lord Nityananda, there is no
Nityananda. So are we ready for this song?
Kunjite namer hatuleche.
Yeah.
Tamo Nash Kari Kari Tatver Prakash. by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, this darkness of ignorance is removed and the truth is brought to light. Tattva vastu Krishna Krishna Bhakti Prema Rupa Nama Sankirtana Sabha Ananda Sarup. The absolute truth is Sri Krishna, and loving devotion to Sri Krishna exhibited in pure love is achieved through congregational chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all bliss. So if someone asks you, my dear Hare Krishna person, what do you believe in your religion? You say, my dear friend,
I will tell you.
The absolute truth is Sri Krishna.
The absolute truth is Sri Krishna.
And loving devotion to Sri Krishna.
And loving devotion to Sri Krishna.
Exhibited in pure love.
Exhibited in pure love.
Is achieved.
Is achieved.
Through congregational chanting.
Through congregational chanting.
Of the holy name.
Of the holy name.
Which is the essence.
Which is the essence.
Of all bliss.
Of all bliss.
Surya Chandra Bahirer Tamar Se Binashe Bahir Vastu Ghata Pata Adi Se Prakashe. The sun and moon dissipate the darkness of the external world and thus reveal external material objects like pots and plates. Now we can do this one. Dui Bai Hridayer Kshali Andakara
Andakara
Dui
Bhagavata
Sange Kurana Shakshatkar Dui Bhai Hridaye Kshali Andakara
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 Dui Bhagavata Sange Karana Sakshatkara
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 I have to make it fit. Anybody like to try?
Dui Bhai Hridaye Kshali Andhaka
Dui Bhai Hridaye Kshali Andhaka
Dui Bhagavata Sange Karana Sakshatkara
Dui Bhagavata Sange Karana Sakshatkara
Dui Bhai Hridaye Kshali Andhaka
Dui Bhai Hridaye Kshali Andhaka
Dui Bhagavata Sange Karana Sakshatkara
Yes. Just see. But these two brothers, Lord Chaitanya,
Lord Nityananda,
dissipate the darkness,
dissipate the darkness
of the inner core of the heart,
of the inner core of the heart,
and thus they help one meet,
and thus they help one meet
the two kinds of Bhagavatas,
the two kinds of Bhagavatas,
brackets, persons or things,
persons or things
in relationship,
with the personality of God.
The personality of God. One of the listen carefully, my dear friends. One of the Bhagavatas is the great scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is the pure devotee absorbed in the mellows of loving devotion. Through the actions of these two Bhagavatas, the Lord instills the mellows of transcendental devotional service, transcendental loving service, into the heart of a living being, and thus the Lord, in the heart of his devotee, comes under the control of the devotee's love. I'm afraid this is where we may part company with. No, we don't actually. We don't part company with Ramanujacharya. This is Antaryami is there. And this is telling you how Antaryami can come under the control of the Bhagavata. How is that possible? Through divine love. The first wonder. There are many wonders. The first wonder is that both brothers appear simultaneously. That's wonderful. The second,
Hare Krishna.
You've all grown. It happens. Twins grow up. The first wonder is that both brothers appear simultaneously, and the other is that they illuminate the innermost depths of the heart. It's wonderful. First, that they're here at the same time. Who would have imagined? We have one Kaliyuga Parvana, and then we have another one. First, nobody comes for 5,000 years, and then two come at once. Then the second one is that they illuminate the innermost depths of the heart. This is very strange. This is an unusual thing. This has never happened before. Before, we had to do everything. We have to do it. Now by their grace, just by that grace, it has happened. These two, the sun and the moon, are very kind to the people of the world. Thus, for the good fortune of all, they have appeared on the horizon of Bengal. Let us therefore worship the holy feet of these two lords. Thus one can be rid of all difficulties on the path of self-realization. I have to stop my class when great devotees arrive. His smile is just conquering me. So the point is here that does anybody find devotional service difficult? Please raise your right hand. We just explained how it was easy. But does anybody find it difficult? Yes. But these two lords, who have arisen simultaneously, they know. And therefore, they can be free of, you can be free of all difficulties. Normally we have to go to Ganapati. On my weekends, I become transformed. Just like Clark Kent becomes Superman, Vikramoya Das, devotee of Krishna, becomes... Ganapati Pandit. On weekends, my head never stops wobbling. You see, because he's Vigna Vinashan. Vigna means the obstacles. Vinashan means one who removes the obstacles. But here, I've just discovered what to do with my weekends. I just have to come to those two lords on the weekends, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and they will take away all the difficulties on the path of self-realization. Haribo! I have invoked the benedictions, says Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, of the Lords with these two verses, text 1 and 2 of the chapter. Now please hear attentively the purport of the third verse, and then he goes into different explanations of what the book is going to be about. But essentially, Chaitanya Charitamrita is about these two persons, these two persons who introduce us to the two Bhagavats, the Srimad Bhagavat and the Mahabhagavat. So two persons introduce us to two persons. Bhagavatam is a person, and Guru is a person. So these two, they introduce us to those two. So we have the sun and moon, those two persons, Nityananda, Chaitanya, introducing us to the two Bhagavats. So this is how he starts. He's a poet. He's writing it very wonderfully. But I would like to tell you about Lord Nityananda's appearance, if I may, because we've had enough philosophy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that he comes yada yada hi dharmasya and paritranaya sarunam. He comes only once every so often, but he comes to give everything to his sadhus, those who are following the life which is taking them upwards. There's only two ways that you can go in life, just like the man I was talking to yesterday. He said, what do you believe in, heaven and hell? And people don't like it when we say there's a heaven, and we don't like it when we say there's a hell. So sometimes I say, well, actually, you create your own heaven by your activities in this world, and you create your own hell. Are people in hell in this world? Yes. Are people in heaven in this world? Oh yes. But one unfortunately turns into the other. Someone who's now in heaven, very soon he becomes one who is in hell. Be in heaven. that we have heaven and hell of our own making. So at every moment we have a choice to go up or to go down. It's like just yesterday I was coming here on London Underground and I got to the top of the escalators and I had a choice. Which way did I want to go? Up or down? There's one escalator going down and one escalator coming up. You have a choice. So life is like that. You're faced. Do I want to go on the down path, the down escalator, or do I want to go on the up escalator? It's your choice. So those things which take us up, that is known as dharma. And those things which take us on the down escalator, that is known as adharma. It's very simple. So first of all, you have to know that there is an escalator and that you can go down and up. Second, you have to know that it's your choice. Third, you have to know what you do to make sure that you're always going up. Fourth, you have to know what to avoid to begin going down again. And sixth, you have to know where you're meant to be going. You have to know your destination. Last night, my destination was Lotus Feet, which is your out of London Shore. You see? Actually, it was Lotus Feet of Tripad. But this is the destination. So if you know all those six things, then you can do life. You see? You should write a book, shouldn't you? Oh, the book's already been written. Many thousands of years ago. So Krishna comes to give dharma, but he also comes to give he also comes to remove obstacles in the path of making the right choice. Because evil people, they have a tendency to stop the good people from making the right choices. They pull them down with their company. So we have to know how to make the right choice and what is a good person and how to hang out with the good people rather than the bad people. You see. And bad people are everywhere because it's Kali Yuga. That's the whole point. The whole point is that Kali Yuga gradually fills up with bad people, but you don't notice it. Two frogs. You know the story. Two frogs in the pot. You don't notice when things are becoming gradually worse, until you no longer have human civilization. And so he said to me yesterday, what would you do about knife crime? I said, it's just one symptom of what happens when society becomes decadent to the point where it forgets what life is really about, and people glory in violence, they glory in exploitation. Because one thing just leads to another. You know, sense gratification. Then comes greedy sense gratification. Then comes exploitative sense gratification. Then comes violent sense gratification. And then comes violence without any sense gratification at all. That's the progression of human society. Then you're finished. The Romans did it. The Greeks did it. The Etruscans did it. The Abyssinians did it. Everybody's done it. I said, now we've had thousands of years to learn that we shouldn't do it, and we're still doing it. We're still doing it. So Krishna comes, and he comes, and he comes, and he keeps coming to just remind people, don't do it. Don't do it. This is the way it should go. And if you want to be moving upwards, this is what you should do. So on Nityananda's appearance day, we remember that time when he appeared. Now, every incarnation of the Lord has a particular, the Lord doesn't take a body. We say incarnation, it's a very bad word actually, because incarna is a Latin word which means to come into the body. But Krishna never comes into a body. You know, that Krishna is a spirit, and then there's this body of someone who's kind of like a cowherd and a flute player, and Krishna comes into that body. No. When Dehi Deha Vibhavo Yam, Krishna's soul and Krishna's body is exactly the same thing. But with everybody else, the soul and the body are two different things. But because your soul and your body are two different things, don't go thinking that Krishna's soul and his body are two different things. Because Krishna and his soul are exactly the same. The soul of Krishna is the body of Krishna. Okay, get it? So when Krishna comes, he doesn't incarnate. It is avatar. An avatar is a higher concept. course, now they've even borrowed the word avatar, haven't they, for computer games. But thank God that they're using the word avatar in the correct way. I mean, they could have used the Sanskrit word avatar to describe a plate of chips. You know, and then every time for the next, you know, few centuries, when, you know, a speaker gives a talk in the Hare Krishna temple, and he says, so Krishna is the supreme avatar, and everybody goes, you know, their god is a plate of chips. So how you use language is very important. So when people borrow these words from Sanskrit, they should always use them in the correct way. So I'm happy that avatar has been used in kind of, except that it only perpetuates the idea that you are God and you can have your own avatar. So when Lord Nityananda Prabhu comes, he comes to preach. So his physical appearance is an appearance of a preacher in the mid-1400s in Bengal or all over India. We were talking earlier about the Sufis. In the year 1200 and something, the Muslims had come, and along with them they came to Bengal, because Bengal had the port, and you know it was a very good place to conquer if you were going to conquer. The English made it their capital, the British made it the capital. So it was the first place to fall under Muslim rule in the 800 years that the Muslims remained there. And the Sufis came along with them. The Sufis were kicked out, basically, by the Muslims, and they were, you know, they were in. And they used to travel, and they belonged to no particular caste. They belonged to no, but they would wear Tulsi beads, they would wear beads of crystal, they would wear beads of Rudraksha, all at the same time. And they had a whole, you know, a whole bunch of songs that they would sing. So whichever village they came to, whatever was the deity being worshipped, they'd have a set of beads, and they'd have a song. So wherever they went, they would be successful as mendicants. Because what's the point of being a mendicant if no one appreciates your message? He says, so you have to be a good mover. So Prabhupada, later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he describes that the appearance of Lord Nityananda was very much like this. One earring, not two, just the one. And bangles and the nupur, the foot bells. But we haven't got there yet. We haven't got there yet. But he came as a preacher. He came as a preacher. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, his disguise, if you like, was to be the sannyasi, but as also to be the preacher. Nobody really likes to see Lord Chaitanya with a shaven head. Nobody really likes to see Lord Chaitanya in the robes of a sannyasi. That's why we don't worship him that way. In any Krishna conscious temple, you never see Lord Chaitanya with a shaven head. You'll always see him as Keshava, as beautiful hair in a particular mood. We don't like to see that the Lord renounces. It's not our pleasure. We're happy that through this he delivered humanity. But really, we like to see him in his inner spirit. We like that. So what the Lord does when he comes in Kali Yuga is behaves as a devotee in order to perfectly exemplify the life of a devotee for the benediction of others, but also to experience that for himself. To experience that for himself. So thus, Lord, these two brothers, they're always together, Krishna and Balaram. And from Balaram, of course, comes the Sankarsana. And from Sankarsana comes Shesha and Anushesha. So we trace our line, we trace the incarnation of Lord Balaram, and therefore we say Nityananda Ram. And Krishna is Kaviraj Goswami. You see, you know, sometimes sometimes we don't realize what has been done in order to establish the identity of Chaitanya and Nityananda. A lot has gone on over the past, you know, 400 years. A lot has gone on over the past 100 years. So that we can comfortably come to Krishna consciousness and we can have Radha Krishna. Sometimes it gets a bit confusing. You have Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Jagannath, Gaurdatai, Giriraj, who else? Narsingadev, Tulsi Devi, Srinathji, Again, we've got to work it all out. We're just Kanishtha Adhikaris. Some of us were Christians, we couldn't even work out the Holy Trinity. You know, three in one. And now we're being asked to work out the ten in one. And then add on to that is the ten incarnations of Krishna. Now we're 20 in one. Okay? And then 24 incarnations after that. And gosh, I was never good at mathematics. So it gets a bit confusing sometimes. So that's why our great sages are at pains to explain the tattva in the beginning before they get to the lila. So he goes through many, 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 many pages to explain to all the Sri Vaishnavas, to all the Nimbarkas, to all the followers of Madhva, to everybody, that these two brothers are actually, the identity is non-different from Krishna and Balaram, and therefore non-different from Vyuha, non-different from Antaryami, non-different from all these persons. And so this is a great claim. In one sense, it's an audacious claim. We have taken it on board because on the very first day, people started telling me, Lord Chaitanya is Radhakrishna, and Nityananda is Balaram, and Lord Nrisingadeva is Vishnu, and that's Krishna, and all, you know, sort of. But many people, they come to Krishna consciousness having deep faith in another Vaishnava tradition, you see. And that was the time that Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami is writing. He's writing in about 1616. He's writing a bit later. But he wants to, you know, he actually wants to be very clear about what he's explaining. Anyway, so then there is God, and then there is God, but God who plays the role of a servant. This is a very subtle theological concept. How can God be a servant God? Either you're a servant of God, or you're God. But he is a servant God. That Krishna himself expands as his own servant. Now for us, you know, I think I told you before, the people from Buckingham Palace came to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Did I tell you that story?
Yeah.
Tell this one. You know, the people who look after the Queen and Duke of Edinburgh, they came to Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the whole team came, and we showed them around. And, you know, they were, it's funny, they were looking to see how clean things were, and they were looking at the chandeliers to see if there's any cobwebs, because they know what it means to look after a big house with a special family in it. So we were comparing notes. And the thing we said was that actually, you know, we are servants, and there's a pleasure in being a servant. Any particular pose? Is that the last one now? So we were comparing notes, and we were saying, there is a pleasure in being a servant. And normally in this world, if you explain to someone that you're a servant, they think, oh, how unfortunate. Because it's best to be the master. Like when Prabhupada went to the Dai Nippon printing company, and all the different executives were giving him their calling card. And Prabhupada talked to the one young man, and he had a stack of cards. And he said, what is your ambition in life? And he took his calling, he was a junior, and he took his calling card from the bottom of the pack that Prabhupada was holding, and he put it on the top. He said, that's my ambition, to get to the top of the company. This is an ambition, to get to the top. So to be a master is to be, that's something to aspire for. Everybody wants to be a master these days, isn't it? You know, Reiki master, or this master, that master. Everybody wants to be the one in charge. But here we're seeing the inverse. We're seeing that who gets to be the servant gets to enjoy the most. And this is very strange. So God increases his enjoyment, get this, by serving himself. By expanding in such a way that his expansion can taste the bliss of serving him. So this is Balaram. But it's a different type of service. It's a protective service. I'm the older brother, but my service is to protect you. So then, when you transpose Krishna and Balaram to this world, Lord Nityananda is still the older brother. He comes 13 years before Lord Chaitanya comes, and he's protecting him, you see. So, Vrindavanas Thakura says that only one who has the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can actually understand Nityananda. Otherwise, you will consider him to be peripheral. He will be a mystery. You won't quite get it. There will be Guru, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, and that's all I need. Thank you very much. The Holy Trinity. And that's all I need. Don't start getting it complicated now with Nityananda. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, no. Just try and understand. Unless you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you won't understand Nityananda. But unless you serve Nityananda, you can't even approach Lord Chaitanya. Oh, you've just made it complicated again. Just when I thought Krishna consciousness was simple. Simple for the simple? Maybe. So, in the village of Ekachakra, there was a family. When I say family, there was a couple. They had no son. Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, they lived in this village, Ekachakra. And one night, they both had the same dream, that a man with matted locks, matted hair, came to them and said, "Don't worry, you'll soon have as your son a Mahapurusha. A Mahapurusha will be born as your son. He will possess unlimited Shakti." It's quite a dream to have. "He will possess unlimited Shakti, and he will deliver thousands of sinners from bondage." That was the dream. So they got excited. So Lord Nityananda appeared today in the year. This is the month of Magh, the coldest month. The coldest month. In a place in India which was, shall we say, dominated by those opposed to Vedic culture. So, it's quite an unfriendly place, but he appeared there on the Triodashi in the bright fortnight. Just so you know, month of Magh, bright fortnight, Triodashi. Triodashi, Triya means three, Dash means ten, 13th day. 13th day of the lunar month in the bright fortnight when the moon is getting bigger and bigger. So 1473 in our years. And they named him Kuvera. They named him Kuvera. And from his eyes and face, it appeared that transcendental happiness was always in his heart. Sometimes babies smile and giggle. So Lord Nityananda was always Nitya Ananda, always happy. Smiling, giggling as a baby. Sometimes that disappears the older they get, but it never disappeared. He just carried on. He was always happy. And during his childhood, the children would play Leela. Now, the stories that kids knew in those days were full of, like, everybody, everybody praises Mrs. Rowling for writing her books and helping a generation of children to read. And it's full of, magic and mystery and wizards and warlocks and owls that bring the post and all sorts of things. But you got to understand, if you actually read the Vedic literature, you'll find it's all there. But just keep reading. The difficulty is sometimes it's not presented as easily as we might wish. And you have to find it. So they had all these amazing stories. And the children used to, because there's no television, no radio, no other source of information other than the stories that were told in the local temple and the stories that were told in their homes. And so they would play out these stories. Cowboys and Indians hadn't been invented. And it was just they would play out these stories. But Lord Nityananda would play these stories as if he was actually in the story. As if he was in the story. And one time the boys, they took sticks and stones and they made a replica Mathura. They made the town of Mathura. and they were playing different Krishna's pastimes. And another time they were playing Ram's pastimes. And of course you know the story, that one boy played the part of Hanuman, another played the part of Ram, and Nityananda Prabhu Mahajan played the his eternal part as Lakshman, who is, you know, the brother of Ram. So when he was almost fatally slain in battle, hurt in battle, and Hanuman had to bring the Sanjeevani, little Nityananda, who was about 10 or 11, fell unconscious and no one could wake him up. And they said, come on, wake up, it's just a game. But he lay unconscious. So the boy who then played Hanuman had to run, and he had to find some Sanjeevani and bring it to Nityananda, and then he woke up. If you still go to Eka Chakra, you can find a tree under which he would play. And that tree is in the shape of Anantashesha, the hood of Anantashesha. Like that. The tree has grown like that. That's the tree under which he used to play. By the age of 12, he was proficient in grammar. And then something happens. A sannyasi comes to the house and he asks that Nittai can be his brahmachari assistant. Usually when a sannyasi is getting old, it's quite a physical thing. We in ISKCON, we look after our sannyasis quite well, but actually it was meant to be a, you know, you didn't fly on the jet, but you walked through the forest and there was pumas and jaguars and, you know, wild boars. And so you'd have to have young brahmacharis. If you're an old sannyasi, you'd have to have younger men who could wield sticks and just carry things occasionally and help you when you were sick. Because if you got sick as an elderly swami and you were walking across a jungle, then you'd die. So really, sannyasi always travels with some brahmachari. So here there's a sannyasi, he appears and he says, nobody knows who he is, we still don't know who he is. And he asks Harai Pandit and Padmavati to, if Kubera can come with him on traveling to all the holy places. So with great reluctance, Harai Pandit gives him, age 12, Nityananda Prabhu. And he actually laments loud into the night for many, many weeks, lamenting the disappearance of his son, as much as Dasarath lamented the passing away, not the passing away, but the going to the forest of Lord Ram. Because this is what has happened. You see, Ram went away, 16, 17, he went away to the forest, and at the age of 12, here's this young boy being taken away as a brahmachari with the sannyasi. But then the sannyasi himself passed away after a few years, leaving this young man to tour all over. Of course, he's not an ordinary young man. He's God himself come to play a particular part. And eventually, he gets to exhibit the part that he has come to play. By occasionally, he's walking along and he experiences waves of ecstatic love. So sometimes he's walking, sometimes he's dancing, sometimes he's laughing, and no one can know what he's laughing at, and sometimes he's crying, and no one knows the reason for his tears. And sometimes he just, in the middle of a holy place, he will shout out the name of Krishna. And people who witnessed that, they wrote down afterwards, when he came to our town, it seemed as if his shout pierced the sky. It was so painful to hear him shout for Krishna. He was missing Krishna so much that his shout pierced the sky. Prabhupada said we should learn this art of crying for Krishna. So he goes to Srirangam. Okay? Madan Mohan Govind. Wonderful town. And now it is, you know, 14, maybe 1490, getting up to 1500. See, so a lot's happening in Sri Rangam. He goes to Sri Rangam, he goes to Rameshwaram, he goes to Mathura, he goes to Vrindavan. And along the way, people get to hear of him, and he meets all the holy people. Now, we have our devotees who are walking to every holy place in India. And I think it took them 6 years. Is it 6 years? Was it seven? And they had to be back in one place by 1986, wasn't it? The 500th celebration of Lord Chaitanya. So I think they were traveling 6-7 years. So you can do it, but this is sort of holding programs and everything. So it's a long trek, but he was on that long trek. Now we see just the same thing happened when Lord Balaram appeared. Lord Balaram didn't take part in the Kurukshetra. He went to, because of the intrigue with Rama Maharshi and Sutta, he went to all the holy places. So here is Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Balaram, going, following the same journey, going to all the holy places that Lord Balaram visited. And so, but along the way, he meets someone called Madhavendra Puri. He meets Madhavendra Puri. Now, Puri means he is initiated in the line of Shankaracharya, because that's how you took sannyas. You could only take sannyas. Not exactly, but you know, Puri is one of those. Puri is one of those names. And then he meets the guru of Madhavendra Puri, Lakshmipati Tirtha, and we're told that Lakshmipati Tirtha gives Nityananda initiation after praising him. Now, sometimes it's a strange thing, because sometimes it's always the disciple praising the guru. That's normally, you know, how it normally works. The disciple sees the wonderful qualities of the guru and then surrenders and becomes an. But here we have examples of how Madhavendra Puri just was in awe of Nityananda Prabhu. He's just completely in awe of him. And he just, with tears in his eyes, and he looks at him and he said, I've never met anyone like you. And he writes about him. That's how we know that he met him. And then he says, I really want you to meet my guru. So he meets Lakshmipati Tirtha. And of course, Lakshmipati Tirtha is in the Madhva school. He meets him and he praises him. He can't, you know, it's such a wonderful sight to behold. And so he continues. And by the time he's in Vrindavan, and he's going to towards Mayapur, he actually, you know, Sankirtan has started. So when did the Sankirtan movement start? 1500? Is it 1500? Lord Chaitanya born in 1486. He takes sannyas when he's 24. So there's a few years anyway. He's a few years promulgating the Sankirtan movement before he takes sannyas and leaves Navadvip. So around about that time. So he comes in. And Nityananda Prabhu comes to a place in Navadvipa known as Ishojan. There's some gardens there, and the person who was there was called Nandanacharya. So he comes there and he just stays in his house. Then Janitai Prabhu, what we can do is I can go on for a few minutes until they meet, and then after breakfast, if anybody wants to come, then we. But is there something left to bring? Okay. So if anybody wants, then we'll carry on. It is said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu occasionally, when Nityananda gave these sky-renting expressions of Krishna, Lord Nityananda heard him. Lord Chaitanya heard him. So the Sankirtan movement had started in Srivas Thakur's house. This is with his Angan, Srivas Angan. We normally, when we see pictures of Panchatattva, we'll see them figuratively assembled in Srivas Thakur's house. They all lived together, and not all lived together, but in the same neighborhood. Advaitacharya was there, Gadadhar was there, Srivas Thakur was there. And you can still go to their places today. By this time, Nityananda's appearance was, he was dressed in blue, with a blue cheddar. He had a necklace of tulsi. He had a necklace of rudraksha. He had armlets. He had bangles on his wrists. He had an earring in one ear. He had foot bells. And he had his hair, he had long hair, long black hair, tied back with a string of gunja beads. Gunja beads are very small beads, and they're half black and half red. And people make them into a necklace. And you can, this is how he was dressed. Then he had eyes like a deer. He said, eyes like a deer. He was sometimes laughing and he was sometimes crying. And he walked with a steady walk as if he was used to walking a lot. He had good strong legs. And sometimes he would wander from side to side. He looked as if he was slightly drunk. When he was experiencing these ecstasies, he would sometimes stagger a little. Now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his friends that within a day or two, an exalted personality will come here. And on that same day, when he told his friends, Lord Nityananda arrived in Navadvipa. And that night, Lord Chaitanya had a dream. And in the morning, he told his friends, I saw a beautiful chariot with a flag on top that stopped outside my door. The wonderful passenger carried a large pillar on his shoulder and a stick tucked in his waist. He held a pitcher in his left hand and repeatedly asked, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? He said, I am your brother. We will meet and we will know each other tomorrow. And Lord Chaitanya, at that point when he was explaining the dream, he entered the mood of Balaram. And he cried out for wine. He said, bring me wine. And the devotees, of course, there was no wine. And then they just sat him down. They said, my lord, said, the wine that you're looking for is all here. And they got a little bit worried because they'd never seen him like this before. And so the next day, where are we? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Haridas, who was quite old, of course, at this time. He's over 60. He's quite old. And he sent Haridas Thakur and Shivas out to look for Nityananda. They took people with them. They took many people with them. They were away for 9 hours. But of course, they couldn't find him. They came back to report to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, yes. He said, you will find him. He's Balaram himself. So then, then they went with the Lord, and as they were walking, they were chanting, Jai Shri Krishna!
Jai Shri Krishna!
And they came to Nandanacharya's house, and they were all stunned to see Lord Nityananda. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Nityananda, and he saw Balaram, and Lord Nityananda looked at Lord Chaitanya, and he saw Krishna, and immediately they embraced. And Lord Chaitanya, they fell on the floor, they embraced again. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Nityananda, he asked for some chanting of Bhagavatam verses to be done. And they chanted some Bhagavatam verses while the two lords were meeting each other, two brothers were meeting each other in this particular avatar for this period. So they were singing verses and just increased their pleasure. So then they came to conventional sort of dealings gradually. And then he says, tomorrow is Guru Purnima. So they met on the day before Guru Purnima. He said, tomorrow is Guru Purnima and we will worship Vyasadev. Where will you do the worship of Vyasadev? And then Lord Nityananda pointed to Srivas Thakur and he said, in this Brahmin's house. I'll do it in this Brahmin's house. So Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas Thakur and he said, that's a heavy responsibility for you, Srivas. So they went to Srivas's house, they locked all the doors and they began a loud kirtan, and they danced. And as they danced, they tried to catch each other's feet. And at one point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called out for a plow, a club, and for a Varuni drink. And then he called out, Nada, Nada, shouting that this was the person who brought him there from Vaikuntha. And after he calmed down, he asked the devotees, what mischief did I do during that kirtan? What did I speak? What nonsense did I speak? And they said, my lord, it was just a wonderful kirtan. It was nothing serious. Whatever you did, whatever you said, it wasn't serious. Then, this is the last bit now. Then Lord Nityananda, he also became very agitated. And Lord Chaitanya caught him and pacified him. He said, please be quiet now. Please be quiet. We will celebrate Vyasa Puja tomorrow. And that night, though, Lord Nityananda woke up and he broke his danda and smashed his water pot. And then Lord Chaitanya took them. He was like breaking sticks. Lord Chaitanya's danda was broken a little later on. Actually, you can go to Ambika Kalna. Have you anybody been to Ambika Kalna? And there they have Nityananda's stick covered in yellow cloth. But if you want, the pujari will come and put the stick of Lord Nityananda on your head. You can make a wish and then get the Lord Nityananda's stick on your head. Wonderful thing. Yeah. It's, you have to go out a bit, way a bit. Lord Chaitanya then placed these items in the Ganga, and then Nityananda got into the river and he swam out to fight with a crocodile. And then Lord Chaitanya said, hurry up, today we will worship Vyas. And Lord Nityananda was muttering to himself when they began the puja of Srila Vyasadeva. I think this must have been the custom, that we worship our own guru on Vyasa Puja, but it was the custom for everybody to worship Vyasadeva on this particular Guru Purnima. So this was Vyasa Puja was on the Guru Purnima. And he didn't place the garland on Vyas, but he was the chief guest. So, we do that every day, don't we? Our Vyas, the oldest devotee, is given the flower garland to garland Srila Prabhupada. But imagine if that devotee was given the flower garland and just stood there, not putting the garland on. And Lord Chaitanya then had to come and tell him what to do, to tell Nityananda what to do. But later on that day, there was yet another kirtan in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his six-armed form to Nityananda. So many things were taking place at that time. So then we go into some other leaders. So I'll take a break there, because we like breaks. We like to break our fast as well as breaking. And I thank you very, very much for giving me the inspiration to be here this morning. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai.
And then we'll say something afterwards if anybody wants.
Hare Krishna, everybody. Jai Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai.
I'd like to thank His Grace Guru Prabhu for taking time out of his busy schedule to spend time with us in this festival. I think it came like last year as well. It was a great day. So hopefully you have many more years to come. So now we're going to have a break. We're going to have a little bit of a light prasadam. So in order to facilitate that and try and make sure everything runs quickly, so that we can clear the temple and everything, I'd like to have volunteers first on the ladies' side for serving the ladies. Okay. All right. On the men's side. I've got a shortage. And also to clean up the temple room. It's got to be quick, there's only quite a few. Okay, perfect.
After
Prashad. Yeah. So And after prasadam, then as you all like, but I'm sure that most of us will want Krishna Prabhu to continue at least for some time. Hopefully we can finish, but Prabhuji can stop by about 11:30 maybe. We can go until about 12:30 or something like that.
And we have a play?
That's at 1. So we can do Rajprabh Kirtan at 12:30. And then play at 1 and then 1:30 is feast. And then 3 o'clock is Harinam.
What a day!
And then 5 o'clock is Abhishek, 6 o'clock is class breakfast, Grace Chaitanya Prabhu. 7 o'clock is Uraj and some more fight up here. So please, if you can stay with us for the whole day, that'd be great. So everyone can go down and start prasadam chain. Sorry, before everyone gets up, I just was reminded that we have some scores to read up. So, in Krishna's community shop, we distributed 6 books and collected 200 luxury points. On Sankirtan yesterday, we had 3 devotees going up, starting with Uddhava Damodar Prabhu, who collected 53 luxury. Distributed 30 small, 10 medium, 1 big, 1 mahabig, 11 book points. His Grace Bhakta Prashad Prabhu, who collected 56 luxury, distributed 8 small, 13 medium, 2 big, 2 mahabig, for 11.75 book points. And His Grace Bhakta Sean, who collected 103 luxury points, distributed 10 small, 10 medium, 18 big, for 23 book points. Now the total of 3 devotees who collected 212 luxury points, distributed 48 small, 33 medium, 21 big, 3 mahabig, for 25.75 book points. And then the distribution is 11.5K. Now it's for sure.
I also wonder, maybe, are you dehydrated? Do you drink any water?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's probably woke up too early. I woke up at 2:30 or something. I just woke up rested. There wasn't any point in going back to sleep, you know, so they hit me in class. Kirtan.
Good. Does anyone help with the prasadam too?
अंदर डालो ना बीजू बीजू।